All colors are becoming beautiful, are they not?
Oh,
wow. And I'm trying to get into the spirit of this. This is my pumpkin spice shirt. Glad you're all here this morning. Before we get started, this may again be something you've heard before, but it never hurts to hear it again. But it's about a gentleman who, if I can get my pages separated, there we go, who was driving down a highway when a rabbit jumps out across the middle of the road. He swerves to avoid the rabbit, but unfortunately the rabbit jumps right in front of his car. The driver, a sensitive man and an animal lover, pulls over and gets out of his car to see what happened to the rabbit. Much to his dismay, the rabbit is dead. The driver feels so awful and begins to cry. A beautiful woman driving down the highway sees the man crying on the side of the road and pulls her car over. She steps out of the car and asks the man, "What's wrong?" "I feel terrible," the man explains. "I accidentally hit the rabbit and killed it." The lady says, "Don't worry." She runs to her car and pulls out a spray can. She walks over to the limp, dead rabbit, bends down and sprays the contents of the can onto the rabbit. The rabbit jumps up, waves its paw at them, hops down the road. 10 feet away, the rabbit stops, turns around, waves again, hops down another 10 feet, turns around, waves again. He does that repeatedly again and again until he's out of sight. The man was astonished and questions the lady, "What was in the can? What did you spray on the rabbit?" The woman turns the can around so the man can read the label. It says, "Hairspray. Restores life to dead hair and adds a permanent..." and adds a permanent wave. At least I thought it was cute. We are actually today going to finish our study in the book of Ephesians. Now, for the past few weeks, we have been looking at what most people consider to be the full armor of God. But I would like to suggest that there is one more weapon at our disposal, and that is the weapon of prayer. And we cannot get through this battle without it. So if you have your Bibles, please take them and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 18. Paul says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Please join me as we begin in prayer. Father God, we do thank you and praise you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity and the gift you give us to pray, Lord, that it allows us to communicate with you. And now, Lord, as we look at your servant, your message today, we just ask that it blesses our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, first off, there are all kinds of prayers, aren't they? They're prayers for our own personal requests, our wants, if you would, our give me list. And there's prayers for intercession. There's prayers for praise. There's prayers for thanksgiving. There's prayers for all kinds of things. But unfortunately, I think too many of us get stuck on our prayers for our own requests. Again, it's our give me list. And when we do that, our prayers get so out of whack to what God has in store for us. And it's because we become selfish. And when we become selfish, we miss out on so many of God's blessings. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "We ask and receive not, because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our own pleasures." And think about how the Lord's Prayer starts. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." If you notice, our prayer life starts with our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and then it goes into our needs. So our first consideration for this morning is this. When our prayers are the language of our pleasures instead of our graces, they will return empty. And then Paul says in verse 18, "Pray with all kinds of prayers and requests." Again, it's not pray for all of my requests, all of my needs, all of my wants, and then pray for all these other things if I have time and if I think about it. No, it is pray for all these other things first, and then pray for your requests. And prayer is the most spiritually thing we can do. And so Paul says that we are to pray in the Spirit. Remember, we are praying to God the Father through the Son, as directed by the Holy Spirit. So our second consideration for this morning is this. All prayer to be effective must be in the Spirit. Otherwise, we're not really praying. We're just mouthing words. And please, a side note, praying in the Spirit does not mean praying in some kind of a trance, speaking in tongues, or some other non-gibberish nonsense. The Holy Spirit does not dominate our prayer. He directs our prayer. And while I'm at it, praying in tongues, prophesying, the gift of healing, and the gift of miracles, yes, we're all part of the early church in its infancy. But in today, in our churches today, they are more of a distraction than they are a means of spiritual growth. But now I'm sure that there are all times when we have had issues in life where we just don't know how to pray or what to pray. And it's like, Lord, I just don't know. I'm in this situation and I can't explain it. Well, it is then that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, it states, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." The Holy Spirit knows our heart, and therefore he can intercede for us when we cannot pray. But now there are some things about prayer that we need to consider. And one is the fact that prayer takes time. And yes, I know we all lead busy lives, but it doesn't take much to set aside time to be with the Lord. And I know people say, well, Pastor, you just don't know. You don't know my schedule. You don't know how busy I am. I'm not some kind of a monk who can sit in a monastery and just pray all day long and meditate on God's word. That's not who I am. And yet there's not a one of us who cannot take time to be with the Lord. It's just a matter of where are your priorities. Another thing is this. We can't just set aside time. We should set aside a place. And this could be a place that is quiet. It's a place where you can be alone with God. It could be your bedroom. It could be a rocking chair in a living room. It could be a barn. It could be a church. It can be wherever. Wherever you can find a place where you can block out the noise of this world. It needs to be a place where you can shut out everything and lift your heart towards God. Jesus said, when you pray, you are to go into your rooms, close the door and pray to your Father who sees what is done in secret. See, our strength and our safety does not come from the noise of this world. It comes from the silence within it. And if you notice, Jesus doesn't say, if you pray. He says, when you pray. And if you haven't noticed, prayer is hard work. And therefore, you can't relegate it to a few moments just before you go to sleep or in the morning when you're hurrying off to go to work. You can't limit it to just a small period of time. And again, I know some people will say, well, you know, Pastor, isn't it better to have a little prayer than no prayer at all? Isn't a stale piece of bread better than no bread at all? And yes, I suppose you could say that. But what would you rather have? A stale piece of bread or a whole course meal? See, our prayers are usually our problem in this battle. And it's because of the weakness of our prayers that we have a weakness in this battle. See, our prayer life takes place in the heavenly realms. And it's there where Satan and his demons do their best to prevent our prayers from reaching the throne room of God. It is there that we need the full armor of God, because when we pray, our prayers become the battleground. This is where the enemy will dredge up from our subconscious whatever he can to discourage us, to prevent our prayers from getting to heaven. He will dredge up from our subconscious things from our past, things like the sins we've committed, the failures we've had, the discouragements we've had. And listen, there is no limit to what is buried in our minds that Satan can use against us. But yet, there's things that we can do to win this battle. And one is to use the sword of the Spirit. If you remember from last week, we stated that no force of Satan can stand against the sword of God. And that is his word. God's word clears the way through Satan's forces and gives us access to the throne room of God. And prayers of thanksgiving are great weapons to use against Satan. And prayers of praise, they can change your attitude. You think about it. It's hard to be discouraged when you're praising the Lord. So our third consideration for this morning is this. One way to defeat Satan is to take your Bible, read some verses, and then pray those verses back to God. And the book of Psalms is a good place to start. Take a few verses, read them, and then pray them back to God. But then take time to listen to God's voice as he reveals to you what he has written. And when you do that, the enemy will flee. But also it helps to have a list of people and a list of things to pray for, and because it helps you stay focused. But that list also helps you keep a track or a record of how God has answered those prayers. Another thing you can do, pray out loud, because once again, it helps you to stay focused. And now, not only are we to pray with all kinds of prayers, but Paul also says that we are to be alert. And that being alert implies being on guard as you are praying. Have you ever noticed there are times when you start praying and one thing begins to lead to another, and the next thing you know, you're daydreaming instead of praying? And if we're not careful, if we're not watching, our prayers become disjointed and sporadic. We need to be watching so that we can see when the enemy is beginning to work. So our fourth consideration is this. As we pray in the Spirit, he will give us the strength to watch and the power to pray. And part of that watching, again, is to watch for things that need to be prayed for and the people who need to be prayed for. But now, Paul goes on. We're not just to be alert, but he says to keep on praying. That is to be praying without ending, pray without ceasing. This is the idea that we are so burdened with our prayer that we cannot give up until we get an answer from God. And please understand, this is not that we are trying to convince God to do our bidding. This is not man's will being done in heaven. This is God's will being done on earth. But too many times we stop praying when we needed to do is persevere. And there are times when, just about the time I'm done, I can't pray for this any longer, is the time that God answers that prayer. He will answer him sometimes in the 11th hour. But also, some of his answers will be no or wait. But we need to remember that God knows what's best for his children. And whichever answer we get, we can be guaranteed that it will be in accordance to God's will. Our fifth consideration for this morning is this. We are to pray without ceasing until either the Holy Spirit stops us or God answers us. Now, the next thing that Paul says is we are to pray for all the saints. We are to be praying for one another, and not just during the week. Not just on a Sunday morning, but all week long. And that's the purpose of the prayer sheets within your bulletins. We are a part of God's family. And it is through our prayers that we can help a brother or sister be victorious in this battle. We're not in this battle alone. A Christian is not meant to be an isolated entity. We are an army of soldiers who should be standing side by side, shields locked together, praying for one another. And not only that, but prayers have no boundaries when it comes to distance. Think about that. We can be praying for somebody thousands and thousands of miles away, and God will still answer those prayers. And also, we should never think of ourselves as being too proud or being too spiritual to pray for ourselves. If Paul could ask for prayer, then so can we. And yes, we really don't know how prayer works, but we know it does because we've seen the evidence of it. But we also know it works because God tells us it does. And think about it. How encouraged do we become as a body of believers when we see God answer our prayers? So, I'm going to ask you to step out of your comfort zone just a little and ask for a few volunteers who are willing to stand up and tell us exactly how God answered a specific prayer for you. If you remember last week, Bill mentioned God answered a prayer for their son, Rick. I mentioned God answered our prayer for our daughter, Kim. I remember Josh saying that God answered a prayer for him, getting him a job. So I'm asking for a few volunteers who are willing to tell us that God has answered a prayer. A few stipulations, please stand. Be loud. Keep it short. We need to be out of here before the Patriots play. All right. Do I have any volunteers? Yes, Butch.
One of the biggest heartaches I had was my brother
long story, I'm going to make it short. Left his wife, was an alcoholic, was homeless for many years, lived underneath trailer trucks in Kansas and parking areas. Just crushed my mother. And it was my dream that he would get back and right with the Lord. Because he still had some problems, yeah, he does. But he goes to church regularly. When I call him, we talk about spiritual matters. And mom's in heaven now. But I can guarantee that she was here. She'd be smiling like crazy. And that was a prayer that lasted for well over 20, 25 years.
Wow.
And it's so nice to see God and his infinite wisdom and grace pull those that he loves back to himself.
Amen. Thank you. Somebody else? Oh, don't be bashful.
So, Tony. My daughter, car purchase is very important and a big deal. My daughter, especially single, was looking to have to buy another car and trying to figure out how she's going to borrow the money and do all that. And we prayed about it. And she went to a second opinion guy, and he just pumped her full of joy. And he was very competent. It wasn't that the first mechanic was bad advice, it was just the other guy said, you've got something you can keep, and he worked on it, and I put her right in, and she's in the seventh.
Praise God. Yes. Joe.
Well, it's nothing to do with people, but I was late for church one day, this was not too long ago, and I jumped on my motorcycle, and before I left the house, I prayed to God. And I said, when I get to Brattleboro, please, please, make all the lights green. You know what? I got to Brattleboro in every single time. I made it. I wasn't late.
God takes care of the little things and the big things. That's awesome. Thank you very much. I got time for one more. Go ahead.
You needed help at the flower shop. That's the simple part. I kept praying about it. I just don't know. I just don't think I can do this. I just don't know. I just don't know. And this person that had told us no way they'll come back texted me and said, I want a job. I thought, oh, that's too weird. But by the time everything was done, I mean, yes, she accepted what you were able to offer. She's available that one weekend when we have our really big wedding. Every other weekend she's busy. And she said she had not even thought about us when she needed another job. And she woke up that morning and went, And I just said, we need to think about it for 24 hours. And I put it on my mind. The next morning I woke up and it was just sort of like I could see a whole plan. And this is a person that's worked for us before, knows the industry, knows us, and we really kind of feel like that was a really sacred prayer.
Praise God. An answer to prayer. Isn't it exciting to watch God at work? Now, Paul is getting near the end of this letter. And yes, he does ask for prayer for himself. He says, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Paul's prayer should be the prayer of every pastor, and that when we preach, we should be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we are to do it fearlessly and as accurately as we can. Satan does not want us to have the right words to say. He doesn't want us to have the boldness that it takes to proclaim the gospel. He would rather us get in there and muddle things up like I do sometimes. But, you know, he is constantly fighting against us. But we do it because, as Paul said, we are ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ. As pastors, we need God's power. We need his faithfulness so that we can do what he has called us to do. But we also need the prayers of the saints. So I ask you to step out of your comfort zone. Maybe I'll step out of mine. I hope you realize that I love what I do, but I cannot do this alone, and I would be foolish to even try. I need God's power. I need his help. I need his wisdom. I need him in order to get me through what I do. But I also need you folks. I need your prayers to help me through. There are some sermons, I will admit, that have been very hard for me to put together. But not only put together, but to get them in my head. And that's the dense part. And yet, God allows it to take place. And I believe it's not because of, it's just, sorry, I don't want to say that. It's because of Him, but also because of your prayers. In your bulletin, there's a sheet that gives you about 13 things to pray for during the week as I prepare. And it's not just for me, but it's for any pastor who fills a pulpit. We cannot do this on our own. I am a cracked vessel that needs help. And I need God's help, and I need your help. So I'm asking that during the week, you take time to pray for me as well. Now, before I lose it all, just one more aspect of prayer that we need to consider. And that is this. It doesn't matter how eloquently you pray. It doesn't matter if you can pray in King James prayers, you know, like the Pharisees, praying in the synagogue, praying out loud, praying out on the street corners for everyone to see. It doesn't matter if you can do that. It doesn't matter how loud you can pray. It doesn't matter whether you can pray without ceasing. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your prayers are going nowhere. They will not reach the throne room of God. But not only that, but Satan doesn't care about the prayers of an unbeliever because he knows they have no impact in the heavenly realms. But for a believer, it doesn't matter how quietly you pray. It doesn't matter if you stumble over your words. If you're praying in the Spirit, then God will hear your prayers. They will make it to the throne room of God. And the other thing we need to remember is this. The prayers of a young believer are just as powerful and valued by God as the prayers of the seasoned saint. And sometimes their prayers are most refreshing to hear because they're prayed from the heart and they're just prayed simply. God has given us this concept of prayer to help us make it through this life. Because as I said, it is a battle. But whatever we need, God will provide it, as we've seen answers to that just today. And if you didn't realize that prayer is a gift from God, and He gives us this gift so that we can communicate with Him. So He's not some king who sits on His mighty throne, who will only see His elite confidants. Nor is He a king in which you have to make an appointment to go see, and you can only hope that maybe, just maybe, He'll grant me an audience. Our King, our God, will accept us before the throne of grace day or night, and He'll accept us whether we are the most lowly of individuals or the most highly regarded, because our God is no respecter of persons. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, John says, "This is the confidence we have, that in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And through these verses, Paul has been using the comprehensive word all four times. And that's because all of life is a battle, and which means all of life needs to be prayed. We need to be praying without ceasing. We need to be praying in the Spirit. We need to be praying alertly, and we need to be praying for all the saints. Prayer should be practiced by every believer because it is through prayer and the study of God's word that we stay focused on God and that strengthens us to make it through the day. What Satan fears is the simple act of a needy child appealing to the Almighty God. And that brings us to Paul's closing remarks. He says, "Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." Paul ends the letter the same way he started it, and that is talking about God's grace. But if you think about it, isn't it God's grace that gets us here? Isn't it by God's grace that we are where we are? And this is a grace that says we don't deserve a thing from God. And yet because of His grace, He gives us everything. So now again, I'm going to ask you, what has God given us through His grace? Give me some answers.
Salvation.
Good. Something else?
Hope.
Oh, is that all God has given us? Peace. Thank you. Peace with God and peace with each other. Yes. Love. Great. Anything else? Come on. Mercy. Beautiful. Come on.
Joy.
Love it. Anything else? Pardon?
Beautiful foliage.
Yes. Anything else? Keep going. What else has God given us? Blessings. Anything else?
Hope.
Oh, say it again.
Hope.
Great. Somebody else. Oh, I'm sorry.
Families.
Somebody said something else, I thought. Oh, hell. Yeah, thank you. I thought it was from back there. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Everything. Yeah, that's what I said. God has given us everything. He's given us our salvation. He's given us forgiveness of sins. He's given us eternal life. He's given us everything. So, sir, shouldn't we be giving him something? Shouldn't we, in turn, be giving him our undying love? Our final consideration for this morning is this. It's at the foot of the cross where the shame of our history meets the grace of our future. And that, my friends, is God's amazing grace. So let me ask you, have you accepted God's amazing grace? Have you turned from your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Does he have that place in your heart that he should have? And do you love him with an undying love? And if not, if you've never done that, please see me after the service. Love to talk to you and introduce you to the one who gave his life for you. Please join me as we close in prayer. Father God, once again, we do thank you and praise you for this book of Ephesians, what we learned from it and through it. And Lord, there was a lot there. We just help and ask that you help us to remember it. Lord, not just to remember it, but to put it to practice as well. And as we just got done praying, talk about praying, Lord, I do ask that you help each and every one of us be able to spend that time with you. A time that we can set aside, a time to spend lifting our hearts towards you. And Lord, we can't thank you enough that you are a God who hears us, and a God who cares, and a God who answers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good reminder, good instruction from the pulpit. Not everybody has that. So, in the end, we need to stand one last time and raise our voices to our Heavenly Father. In your hymnal, I don't know if it's up there or not. No? Page 433. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care. And bid me at my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall fly the tradition there, and it will. And faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me see his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee laid out of prayer. And all God's children said, Amen.